Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mindfulness Mother Radio Show. Motherhood is a 24/7, 365 days a year job. Our mission is to help support mothers as they face every day with love, kindness, compassion, respect, honor, and insight. The Mindfulness Mothers Radio Show creates space for connection and community with tips and tools for mindful parenting on each show from the world's leading experts in the field of parenting, motherhood, education, self-care, mindfulness, and more. As we begin today, we start as normal with our breathing. This is our first show of the new year and our second show altogether, so welcome everyone for joining us, whether you're joining us live or in the archive. Feel free to find yourself in a comfy, cozy spot as we breathe in, and then I will introduce our guest. Hi, breathe in. Hi, breathe out. Just for today, that is enough. I breathe in. I breathe out. Just for today, that is enough. I breathe in. I breathe out. Just for today, that is enough. I am enough. I am enough. I am enough. Just for today, I breathe in, I breathe out. Oh, it's always good just to take a couple of deep breaths, just to settle into our space and to collect ourselves and recover from the holidays a bit. And I will go ahead. Today, our guest is Erin Royer Azralon, and she is, here we go, the founder of YourVillageOnline.com, a one-stop parenting resource with on-demand video classes, and her Peaceful Parenting courses, which she is going to do a column for us on MindfulnessMothers.com under the same name. Erin teaches about the basics of calmer parenting, creating a plan for dealing with moments of chaos and frustration, and the six self-care areas each parent should focus on: sleep, nutrition, physical activities, downtime, stress, and support. She hosts a weekly podcast in which she tackles a variety of parenting topics for thousands of listeners. Her podcast sessions are around 15 minutes each to make it quick and easy for busy parents to find a topic of interest and get the help they need. Her classes, though a bit longer, are structured similarly and accessible 24/7 online. If you would be interested, go ahead and find her at yourvillageonline.com. And as we introduce her, we're going to let her give her own bio. So welcome to the show, Erin.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. Get back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
So just to give our listeners a little background, you are a counselor, and how did you get started with families and children, and a little bit about your background?
So I have my own children. I have three children, 20 months apart. I had twins when my oldest was 20 months old. And like probably a lot of parents out there, a lot of your listeners, I came from a not very healthy parenting background. And when I had my own children, I knew I wanted to do things differently. I didn't know what that would look like and how to do that. So I decided to go back to school, get my master's degree in marriage and family therapy, and then work with children and parents to help other families as well as my own personal growth and families. And I was doing a lot of work, middle school children, some elementary school children and their families, and seeing a lot of breakdowns in communication, some misunderstandings of parents about what their children were capable of, as well as expecting too much in some areas for their children. And I really wanted to find a way to help as many parents as possible and do some prevention work so that they could keep those really strong relationships even when things get rough.
Mm-hmm. That's very important, yes. And for you created your online classes after starting being a mom, obviously, and gives you a little more flexibility, but it's also flexibility for parents, because in doing one-on-one with families, we can only reach, you know, one individual, one family, one child at a time. But with your online classes, you're able to reach thousands and thousands of families and children. What do you do with your online courses? That's a little bit different, or maybe is a little bit more special even than doing it in person.
So when I was originally going to do this, I was going to do more one-on-one and do some classes in person. And when I, as a busy parent myself, I was wanted to go around town and take some classes that other people were offering to see what I liked, what I didn't like, what I would want to do differently, what I would like to do the same. And I just couldn't fit it in my schedule. And it was always at dinner time or on a weekend when, you know, you're trying to do homework, you're trying to do dinners. And I thought, aha, let's put them up online so people can get the exact class they want when they want it. So that was really the biggest piece of what I have is a parent is so busy and they're like, I just want to learn about temper tantrums. What are these things and how do I deal with them? Should I be cuddling them? Should I be ignoring them? What's the best way to deal with this without having to get a sitter and get out of the house and drive somewhere and take, you know, hours out of their day that they're just too busy to do? And then we also have some handouts on there. So for parents who need a shopping list for potty training or the steps right there on their refrigerator for stopping whining, they can go back and remind themselves, oh, here's my steps that I'm going to go through. And then I also, for monthly members, have an Ask Erin. So if they have an additional question that I didn't answer in the class, they can shoot me an email and get that answered personally.
Very cool. I love this step-by-step. So it sounds like your classes have a lot of very practical, I'm all about the practicality, items that parents really can take those tools and just run with them, like immediately listen to it, get print out the step-by-step, and be able to take those tools and just use them immediately.
Yes. Exactly, because I'm the same way. It's like, just tell me what to do. Tell me step by step what to do when my child's melting down or when they go poop beside the potty, not in the potty. What do I do? And it's just so easy to be like, okay, here's what I need to do. It really cuts down on that frustration and builds patience and understanding as well.
I love the practicality, but getting into the more of the philosophical thing of parenting these days, I know a lot of parents are really frustrated with all the different, like, types of parenting. There's, like, helicopter parenting and tiger parenting and cuddling parenting. And, you know, it's like, how do you feel that, like, I read a little bit on your website, and I love your philosophy, I guess, of being able to kind of like positive parenting. Is that what you would call your work? Is that what you would call your classes?
Yes. So the discipline classes are the positive discipline based on Jane Nelson. The other stuff that I do is just, it's based on the latest research. So when I was in grad school, it was all about research. How do you vet research? How do you know that's reliable and that was done right and done well and that you're getting the proper information out of it? So I'm constantly looking at research to see what science is finding about how, you know, children's development and how to build strong relationships, because the relationship is the key to being a good parent. Because we can teach our kids to be amazing and successful, but if we have no relationship with them, then that's not really a very successful family, right? We want to have both successful kids and successful relationships. So I always do everything to make sure to bridge that together. And also, wherever possible, I like to give parents options because there's different ways to handle different types of scenarios, whether it's tantrums or potty training or different discipline exchanges. Some parents like to do some things, and some parents are more comfortable with other ways, or children are very different. I have a class on temperament. It talks about all the different pieces of temperament. And you have a child who's highly active but who's really sensitive. You're going to handle that child differently in different scenarios. So there's a lot of things about how to handle your particular child in different ways. So I leave a lot of flexibility within the realm of science.
I love that. Yeah, because as any parent knows who has more than one child, there is no one fits all.
Right.
Every child is different. And even if you do the same technique, they will react completely differently. Right. And a lot of what you do sounds like the social and emotional work that I do with Inspired Parenting and the Melodies and all the possibility paths for parents. Understanding that relationship with your child, that it's not just about raising a child. It's about forming a bond and a connection. I mean, that's what family is all about and having that. Did you feel like you said that, you know, you kind of had a non-healthy, say that possible, childhood and that connection and that bond? You know, it's so difficult because parenting is so difficult, having those bonds that are healthy and are connected, and a key to that is communication. A key to that is understanding yourself. I work a lot with self-care, with mothers. Do you find that in taking care of yourself as an adult, doing your own inner work, like you said, you went back to school to do your own inner work so that you could be a better mother. Do you feel that that is a critical part of parenting? And that's, you know, mindfulness mothers is all about just becoming aware. And a lot of that has to do with our own self-awareness of who we are as individuals and as parents.
Very much. You know, with a psychology background, there's so much that goes into studying that. But it's a lot about being aware of yourself and your own shortfallings, what we call in grad school with blind spots. What are our own blind spots? That things that come up either from relationships with our own siblings, relationships with our own parents, that might come up and kind of smack us and cause us to react to our children rather than take time to think about how we want to interact with our children. So being aware of all those, and I do some work with that, like in our siblings class, one of the first things I do is I have a worksheet that says go back and think about your relationship with your siblings. Was there sibling rivalry? You know, did your parents treat your siblings differently than you? And were there some areas that brought about sibling rivalry because of that? So to be aware of that and then to not overcompensate. So like if you're the oldest child but you had a baby brother or sister and your parents are always coddling the baby, not to overcompensate and give all this attention to the oldest because you're the oldest, but to be aware of the whole picture and how to be more even.
Yeah, because it's kind of the two ways, right? That you either parent exactly where your parents did, the exact opposite.
Right.
Stop the cycle that way.
Spectrum.
You know, I'm never going to be anything like my parents. I'm going to do the exact opposite. Yeah.
Right. My parents were so tough on me, so I'm going to let my kids do whatever they want.
Because
yes, I don't want them to think
exactly
like I hate them.
Well,
so, yeah,
that's kind of the swing that we have. Yeah, in society, you know, it went from being, you know, free range, you know, kids in the 50s, 60s, like my dad and my mom, who was, you know, climbing billboards and swinging off ropes into rivers and, you know, to now, you know, you can't let your kids walk down the street by themselves, you know, it's the opposite. And I really feel like, you know, yeah, that balance of in between is really getting to know healthier things. And I think healthy is the definition of balance, right? You know, is being mindful and aware and being conscious of what you're doing instead of just automatically doing the opposite or doing exactly the way, you know, you were raised. And
right,
as you know, it is very difficult now. It's a totally different ballgame for parents with technology. You know, it is completely different. In your peaceful parenting, which you're writing for mindfulness mothers too, and you have come up with the first article for January's organization, which I love,
yes,
because life is messy. How did some of the organizational tips that you have help families, like, you know, keep it all together and keep it balanced and, you know, keep it a little more psychologically healthy and less freak out?
Exactly. One of the pieces to peaceful parenting is, of course, the easier things are, the less stressful they are, the easier it is to keep our cool. Because if we're constantly like trying to play catch up or we're running out the door 5 minutes late, that's just a really stressful way to live and is going to be reflected in the way we interact with our spouse, our partner, our kids. So as the new year comes about and getting organized is a big piece for families, I wrote and did a class. I wrote a piece and did a class on getting organized to help relieve some of that stress and take that off of peaceful parenting. And I have kind of a silly little story, but I worked ballet at my kid's school a couple times, and you see the vast spectrum of parents who come through ballet, the ones who are 15 minutes early, their car is pristine, their kids are perfectly dressed, and clean, you know, everything is just clean and orderly and neat, and that's not me, but that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Parents who can be that organized. But and then there's the parents rushing in at the last minute, and they're usually late, and the kids' stuff is falling out of the backpack, and they're throwing the breakfast at the kids as they get out of the car. You know, the goal is to not be at that end of the spectrum, because that's just a really stressful way to live. And it also, our kids are going to perpetuate our habits. So if we're constantly behind, they're not going to learn how to be on time, how to be organized, how to organize their things and their time effectively if we're not teaching it to them. So, you know, anything from parents who are just struggling with morning routines, you know, getting that organized can make life so much less stressful.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was thinking my mom, you know, she was not a morning person. She knew she was. So this is self-awareness, right? She knew she was not a morning person and was not going to be able to, like, get up all chipper and, you know, whatever. So she would put out, you know, breakfast the night before. You know, she would have it all, you know, cereal, all of it ready to go. We usually had oatmeal, whatever, you know what I mean? And it was ready to go. And, you know, all her clothes were laid out the night before, you know, because she could function better at night. So she worked within that, you know, and that's how I am too. I don't do well in mornings. And, you know, and my brothers who do well in mornings, they would be up, you know, fed and like they had a time, they would take piano lessons before school because they were such early morning kids, right? But part of that was the fact that my mom had it organized the night before, you know, so that's that self-awareness of understanding who you are as a person. And, you know, likely half of, you know, depending on how many kids you have, but half of them are going to be like you and half of them aren't going to be like you, you know, and understanding where you can get your own organization. Like for me, I have to have like my purse and my keys or whatever, like my spending that extra 5, 10, 15 minutes running around looking for it, you know, and with kids, they'll pick it up and that sort of thing, you know, but having just an organizational place in the house where like all the backpacks go, this is where the lunches go, you know, having it set up. The children will follow that. A lot of parents think that they won't, but they actually will follow that routine, and it makes them feel safe, and it makes them, you know, knowing what's going on. Like if we all went to work and you have no idea what's going on any day, what time you're going to eat, what's it going to be, where you're going to go, that's stressful. That's extremely stressful. So I love that idea of family organization and the tips that you have on Mindfulness Mothers and the tips that you are giving in your class on family organization, because if you were not raised in a house that's like that, I was raised that way because my mom's grandmother was that way, right? But if you were not raised in a house that was organized like that, like a lot of people get overwhelmed and don't even know where to start.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of my tips too in the class and in the that I sent to your that we put up on your site was that's me too. The purse, the keys, the cell phone. Like I used to spend a ridiculous amount of time every week looking for these, and that's time better spent doing something else. So once we figured out a place that I'm going to always put that stuff, it makes it so much easier, and I have that time to do other things and to get more organized, which is a positive cycle. And one of the other things I put up with some tips on your site was, you know, I move my cell phone around. Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there, because I'm moving around, I'm looking at it, I'm texting people. It doesn't stay in one place. And there's some great tips on there about how to find your cell phone, especially if it's on silent, that if you have an Android or an iPhone, you can send a message to it from your computer, and it will beep until you find it. So that's a great tip, a great tool that will save people like 15, 20 minutes looking around the house for it.
I love that. You know, I know, it's like technology helping us, technology.
Right.
Because if you can't find your phone, at least you find your computer. If you can't find your computer, then you can find your phone.
If you can't find your computer, you're in trouble.
Yes, exactly. It depends on how portable it is. So yes, exactly. I know, and I have discovered, because I carry my phone around too, I put it in the same spot in every room so that, you know, that's the spot that it sits. Yeah, because otherwise I'm very ADD. Part of, like, I actually went to a therapist one time and, you know, was talking about, you know, my ADD. And she's like, you know, well, you know, here's a list of all the coping traits for that. You know, why don't you write down what you do, you know, the problem and the solution. And I wrote down all of the things I do to compensate for my ADD. And she goes, well, that's basically everything this book recommended. So you're already doing it. And that was one of the things was being, I say my OCD controls my ADD. That organization for me, and, you know, and I use it in my house. I use it, you know, as a creative person. You know, I have millions of ideas for books and this and that every single day. I have to keep it organized or else it gets overwhelming and it really is stressful. And it can be that point of, like, standing there, you know, as a parent, you can stand there with the kids running around and it's like you just want to pull your hair out and you don't know where to start. So I always say I used to clean and organize for many of my friends who have many, many kids, you know, and I say you start in a corner, start in one corner. If you're, you know, you're up to cleaning and organizing, you start in one corner. And I'm all about like tubs and baskets and things like that where you can put things in and hide them away. Because even if, you know, it's like, why do we only have one junk drawer? When, you know, it's like you need to have a toy junk closet, a toy whatever, you know what I mean? Part of it is just keeping it visually, for me, I'm very visual, you know, keeping it visually simple. At the same time, knowing where those things are, you know, knowing where your kids are too, helps to keep it, you know, just less stressful. So do you have any, I always say the organization, I absolutely love it. We could talk about that for hours. But, but in terms of your other classes, you have, like, tons of material. You have tons of stuff for parents from all ages, right? You have a toddler, even you're working on an infant thing, all the way to teenagers. Teenagers, as we all know, are probably, you know, the messiest. And at least some of them, not all of them, but tendency.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips in terms of, or even in your classes, about dealing with teenagers and how, you know, a peaceful, positive parenting approach can kind of change that relationship? Because that's when our kids start to really, you know, I want to say redefine us as parents, test our boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, those are the boundaries, what we call parenthood. That's when they get that age where we call they individuate, where they start to pull away, mm-hmm. and they're influence is 50-50, if not more, peer than family. So it's those building block mm-hmm. years in toddlerhood and elementary school that really are going to help that be strong in those tween and teen years. But there's definitely a shift in the way we parent around 10, 11, 12. But if we set up those really respectful ways of parenting early on, the foundation is there. But we shift more from, you know, it's the way we've taught them to take personal responsibility and to make good choices. And yes, they're going to screw up. And that's the hardest part, of course, is that letting go and letting them make mistakes and then helping them learn from them without the shaming or the blaming. But, you know, what did you learn from this? And, you know, there's a lot of times natural consequences for some of the mistakes they make. And if not, once they're teens, we can sit down and say, okay, so, you know, what have they got in a car wreck? The car crash and they dented the bumper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you going to make amends for that? What do you think is the right consequence for this? A lot of times teens, especially if they've been raised well, will come up with very fair consequences, and sometimes they won't, and then we have to help them. But helping coach them, and if it's their idea or if it's somewhat their idea, they're going to buy into it a lot more than if it's like, mm-hmm. you broke the car and now you have to do this and you're going to clean my car every day for a month. It's not going to go well. So it's what is the lesson and how are they going to, you know, learn that lesson? Because chances are they feel really bad about it and they realize they made a mistake. So they're going to be a better judge of and better at actually raising themselves in that way and teaching themselves that lesson than any lecturer is ever going to give.
That is awesome. That is exactly the mindfulness presentation I did for Head Start Parents last month on positive punishment, positive parenting, was about choice, about giving, you know, kids, you know, even toddler, you can let them choose what they're going to wear, you know, and you know,
right.
smile and nod what they wear, mismatch stuff. But it's a part of owning their own body and owning their own life. And you do that just gradually, age appropriate, right? A lot of times we want to force our kids to be older than they are or, you know, and give them more responsibility at younger ages. And then all of a sudden they're a teenager and we want to treat them like kids again, you know? So giving them choices, you will learn so much about your kids by just listening, you know, and giving them the option and giving them the choice and responsibility, you know, of saying, you know, so, you know, if even if they come home with a problem, we always think that we have to fix it. And letting, you know, and like you use the word coach, I love that, because as they get to be teenagers, it does become more of a mentoring, modeling, coaching type of relationship with, you know, with your child, instead of a do this, do that, because I say so, because I know better, because I'm, you know, older and this is a safety issue. You know, they really do have to fall down and skin their knees and get back up and learn what that means. And how to be an adult and how to be a you know, a grown up, which is a difficult process to watch as parents.
Yeah.
So yeah, that relationship connection you talked about is important.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's, you know, that whole foundation that we're building in these elementary and toddler years, this mutual respect and honesty, and making us parents a soft place to land for our kids. If we have that for them, they're not going to be so afraid to come to us and say, I hit something with the car, or I'm at a party and I drank too much, or, you know, whatever else that a lot of kids are afraid to share with their parents. They won't be afraid to share that with us if we're going to be more like, okay, you know, well, that's thank you for telling me, and now we're going to work through, you know, how we're going to solve this issue and how you're going to learn better for next time. And we just get to be there to kind of scaffold them a little bit without solving all their problems or, you know, or lecturing.
Yeah, exactly. And then recognizing and watching them and loving them as they become the amazing people that they are, you know, they will impress you. Yeah. They're pretty awesome when, you know,
yeah,
we are just that constant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. I can't believe we got 3 minutes left. The show is almost over. As I said before, we're going to have hours and hours of discussion here. So I'm so happy that you were able to come on, and welcome to Mindfulness Mothers online.com so that you are one of our new columnists. Do you have, right now you do have the Family Organizational Class online, but you also have other podcasts and other things you're offering. Could you tell our listeners where they can find you and how they can reach you?
Yes, so I have a podcast called Parenting Beyond Discipline. It's on iTunes as well as Google Play. Also on my website at yourvillageonline.com, there's a podcast drop-down, and you can listen to any of the episodes from there. And, of course, all of the classes are available at yourvillageonline.com. Sign up for a single class or monthly, gives you access to every class there is. And
great. And we also, I put the link on our Facebook group. If you're interested in joining Mindfulness Mothers Facebook group, to our listeners, feel free to join us there. And the link to the website, Your Village Online, is there as well. And you can connect with Erin via Facebook as well at Your Village. You have a professional page there, correct? And I went ahead and tagged you on that. Great. Well, we'll go ahead and we're going to exit with a little breathing, but I just wanted to say thank you very much for the work that you do, from my heart to yours. You know, supporting parents and supporting mothers and children is my purpose in life, and it is an honor. And thank you so much for all of the tips that you have given to our listeners, and we appreciate having you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right, we'll go ahead and close. Once again, I breathe in, I breathe out, just for today, that is enough. Thank you so much to everyone, and join us next month when we will have another wonderful episode. Our topic, I believe, will be loving kindness and how to set positive boundaries within loving kindness. And part of that, of course, is what we discussed with Erin about creating that positive relationship connection between you and your child, you and your family, you and your extended family. And as we move into the new year, I wish everyone all the much love and many blessings. Thank you very much. We'll see you next month.